So we've been in a series, right, on marriage, got introduced here recently, and we'll be doing it for a couple more weeks, but I love that we're taking just some time in that series to do a whole section on singleness, and yes, exactly.
Yes!
I know, right? Right.
And the single ladies. Sorry. And,
that's what I'm saying. I literally have no context for you. Like, yes, none. And we're sitting here, and I'm just thinking, how do I even set this up? And, yeah. I mean, you sent me, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 24,000 pages of notes this week.
Felt like it.
That I'm going to need to distill down. But I will say this, Taylor, as I read through them, and where you're going to take us this morning, and we're going to just do a little short window on kind of the landscape of singleness in society at large, the landscape of singleness in the life of the church, at least how it's commonly experienced. Taylor and I will do a short section on some of the biblical ideas around singleness. We're not going to get in the weeds of that. We just don't have enough time to do that, but at least as a framework for then what I think is going to be the most important section this morning that you bring, and I'm really excited for where your journey has taken you to help us better understand, I think, a kingdom singleness that I hadn't really considered until I read through your 24,000 pages of notes.
Smart.
I think what was so intriguing to me, Taylor, and just not to give the plot away, but even on the way in, I was driving in with Luke Beam, and we were talking about the sermon, and the invitation to have an embodied singleness in the life of a community. If you're going to have biblical singleness, if you're going to have biblical marriage, biblical relationships, the Bible doesn't know anything about individualistic journeys where you're kind of out doing your own thing. All of the conversation that's happening in Scripture is happening with the assumption that you are living life out in a durable, steady, ongoing, long-term community. And so even like the child dedication that we just experienced there, at least biblically speaking, there would be the assumption that we would all shepherd these kids for a lifetime in the context of community. And so much of what you're going to share this morning, Taylor, is your unique ability to invite people to come and see and be a part of something, but I think also then to come and stay. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is quite unusual in the landscape of our church life today. It hasn't been a bad thing that we've focused so much on come and see and bring people into the church, but I think we've lived through a season where maybe coming and staying and being part of something and the rigor of that long term, as I reflected on that, and I'll turn it over to you with some of the first parts of this, Luke Viam and I both said sort of the same thing as we were driving down 494, getting ready to exit on 394, 12 westbound. We both noticed it and said, you know, I think if you listen carefully enough to what this message is that Taylor has for us today, embedded in this is way more than singleness. It actually probably is the primary resolution to the mental health crisis of the day that would then push into the chaos in a way that we actually can do something about it. But it does start with a come and stay kind of community in which our gifts as singles and married people together can be embodied with one another. So I'm sure that that message is going to come through with who you are today. You and I have been on this journey for 10 years already, and you certainly have done that for my life. But let's just start here, Taylor. The landscape of singleness. You went to Google, as you do.
I did.
And you asked this question, which I think actually the question, it just even though you have to ask it, was interesting. Yeah. The question you asked Google was, is it okay to be single?
Yeah.
What did you learn from Google, Taylor?
Okay, so, or as Kevin Meyer puts it, the Google.
Oh, the Google, that's fair.
So I did the Google.
Yep.
Here's word for word, the first section that came up. Singles, this is great. Yes, it is completely okay to be single. It is a normal and common life status, not a flaw. That's interesting. And can be a fulfilling choice that allows for personal growth, freedom, and the ability to focus on one's own needs, interests, and well-being, which we'll get to that in a sec, without the obligations of a romantic relationship. There are many benefits to singlehood, and whether it's a temporary phase or a lifelong path, it can be a rich and satisfying way to live. So I said, thank you, Google. Appreciate that affirmation.
Because you're 39, and you're
almost
single.
Almost 39.
Almost 39.
I'm 38, Peter. Don't...
In fairness, I was at a golf course recently, and I was 2 months away from the senior rate, and I thought, I'm paying full price forever. Do not give me the senior rate. So you're almost 39. You've been single, and it sounds like, from your standpoint, you plan and intend on being single for a lifetime. Like, you've really found something different in this journey. But within the context of our landscape today, that's increasingly a common status from a variety of angles in which people find themselves.
Totally. And it's a very multi-layered situation. So when we say singleness, understand that that is a huge cloth, swath, whatever you call it. Like that, it's, there's just a lot that goes into it. The stat that hit me the most was roughly 50% of American adults are single.
50%.
And that blew my mind, because I just don't see that. And the church might be a little bit higher on the married side of that, but if that's true, if 50% of adults are single, that tells us that that is a massive group of people that we as a church should be thinking about.
And there's different layers to it, right? I mean, there's so people that have been single for a lifetime. We recognize that there are people that are single as a result of a divorce. There's people that are single as a result of the death of a spouse. And so there's a lot of different, and you and I both were saying, we can't hit on all the aspects of the different versions of that. Certainly, we could be in this for weeks and weeks to talk about those things, because 50% of the population is experiencing some version of singleness. And I just think it's interesting that we're even asking the question, is it okay to be single? Because it's, you don't ask the question, is it okay to be married, right? And it just feels like it's a flawed kind of status somehow. And that has just not really been your experience. I mean, it's totally been an experience that I'm excited for you to share, but it's not a flawed experience.
Exactly. And I was surprised by that Google response, because yes, it's okay to be single hasn't necessarily always been the message that I've received in my adult life. So we'll get into that. But as we get into this conversation, there's just two disclaimers that I really want to make sure we hit on. I want to recognize that this is two guys talking about singleness. So there is no female perspective this morning. We're going to, at the end of this message, we'll kind of give you an opportunity, an invitation. We want this conversation to continue after today. This isn't just a one-and-done kind of situation. And there are so many people that we need to hear from. We need to hear from the different levels and layers of singleness. So this is my experience of being single. And Petey, you're going to have an awesome approach from being married, but also spending so much time with students on campus.
For sure.
Who are single. So just recognize we're not going to be able to hit on every single layer of this in the next 22 minutes. And the other disclaimer I want to make sure, do not hear me say that singleness is better than marriage. For me, it's been a choice, and I am absolutely loving it, and there's a lot of beauty in life in that. But it's not an either or, one is better, one is worse, one is first class, one is second class. And that's kind of been the messaging a little bit in culture.
Sure.
I think it's shifting a little bit now, but we need the family system. We need marriage. Y'all, if all of us in this room were single, this would be a very different church. And our time together would look radically different. So I appreciate and absolutely love God's design for marriage and the family system. And I also love singleness. And so we're gonna get into both of those.
Yeah.
And they both just have a kingdom value that we got to talk about.
So one last piece of this before we talk briefly about kind of just putting at least a biblical umbrella over the conversation is, if you can compare and contrast a little bit, just generally speaking, this is not true of every church and it's not true of everybody in society, but what has been your experience within church communities over the years related to singleness? As somebody who's been in pastoral leadership over the years in various churches, the single ministries kind of get embodied in the same way, and people haven't maybe always had a wonderfully positive experience in that setting. And then contrast that to what society is saying about singleness.
Okay. So experience of singleness in the church, man, that has been a mixed bag. My experience, and this will be a little bit of where I was before I came to Westgate. So the Western Church has built a very linear system for community. And it has worked. There's life that comes out of that. God is very good at taking anything and growing beauty out of that. But there's this linear system of, you graduate high school, what's your next step? Probably join the young adults group. Fantastic group. That's great. You get to connect with people in your life stage. Maybe talk about college, your career choices. It's a beautiful thing. When you are no longer a young adult, I hate to say it, but I feel like I am getting pushed out of that group.
You've kind of failed.
I feel like
young,
I did like 10
failed
years
out of the young adults group.
I did.
Right?
I mean, I didn't do great. But so now my options are singles or young married. And those are kind of the two paths that I can take, so it's still a very linear system. If you're in a young marriage group, you start to have kids, your next group is a small group with young families. And it goes on and on and on, right? So we've built this very linear system that, again, I think has sort of worked. But for someone like me, a 38-year-old single man, not interested in getting married, then my option is a singles group. And let me say something about singles groups. They can be awesome. There are people in this room who met in a singles group and are now married with children, incredible children. That's fantastic. There are also unbelievably awkward singles groups. And it just becomes like a sweet spot for like, well, I'm actually here because I want to meet someone.
Yeah.
So as a single person wanting to be single, that is not my place to go. Because it's just like, yep, no, 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 I'm sorry, no. And it's just a cyclical heartbreaker, you know?
That was not in my notes.
No, that was up here. So again, there's beauty in these groups. There's beauty in the system. But I want to talk about, so Westgate is, I don't even know Luke Viem's in the room. But he's our group's pastor, our group's associate here, group's director, group's guy. And he's doing a phenomenal job of creating these life groups and these learning circles and these opportunities to come together with people who are very different than us, very different than you, different life stage, different relationship status. We've got small groups with people who are in their 70s and young married couples in their 20s. And that, I think, is the most beautiful, like, kingdom approach to how we can be structuring community in a church and inviting people to the table where there is a lot of diversity.
Well, and some of your experiences you were telling me about it as we were sort of prepping this week, too, as you're going through the singles experience and how unique something is developing here versus maybe some other experiences you've had.
Sure.
I would assume the older that you were getting as you were participating in this kind of linear path as young adults and then this divergent path, whether you're single or married. But I would assume by the time you got into your 30s, it was like, dude, what are you still doing here in the singles group? And you're kind of, again, failing out of this system. And one thing that's super intriguing to me is how many places you go or where you find yourself where there's sort of an assumption that somebody should be with you. Like, we sat down at Birch's together this last week, and the server will say, hey, is anybody joining you today, as if you couldn't just be there alone.
Yeah.
Or you sold a sofa on Facebook this last week,
sure,
which
did.
Is a funny story, so you can tell us a little bit about
I
that.
I sold a couch on Facebook Marketplace, and the young woman that came to pick it up, I helped her put it in the truck. We talked for maybe a minute and a half, and we high five. She goes on her way. Great transaction. I get a message that night.
Yeah, you do.
Taylor, I really appreciated your energy.
Your energy. I love that.
Which I understand that. She's not wrong. I appreciate your energy. Are you single?
Yeah.
So that's all it takes. You sell a couch, and I love that, right? Have you ever sold a couch? Don't do it. You're married.
No, I'm happily 31 years. Yeah.
But the reality is, and a lot of people want that, right? A lot of single people want to be married and want to be with someone. So nothing against that. It's just kind of the common experience is, well, you're single, so that means let's connect you with someone. And that, man, long line of people here who have wanted to connect me with someone. And hear me say, I love that. I think it is so, there's Luke Viem, groups guy.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, let's give it up. Incredible. I love the invitation that people like me that much. That feels good for an Enneagram too. Love me, okay? I appreciate being invited into that. But let's just be aware that there are people in the room who are single and do not like that and are just not finding someone. So I think we just need to be careful with how we ask it and how we sometimes can push this agenda of, well, you need to be with someone, so let me help you get there.
And outside of the church, just to look at that for a minute too, you have, I think you've experienced an increasing shift societally to the embrace of singleness, given the fact that 50% of our society is in various versions of it. And it's been pretty interesting, as you did a bunch of research around that, that it does seem to be something that people are saying, hey, we want to celebrate this. Now I can kind of live my best life as I see fit. It was a little different than inside the church, that outside, like, it's all about me now at this point.
Yeah, so I must have read 20 articles just to kind of wrap my head around this topic. And almost every single one talked about singleness is really awesome. It's such a good thing. It's a gift because you get to completely focus on yourself. And I just wrote down a few of the things. I have more time and I can use it the way I want. I can focus on myself. I am in charge of me. I'm not going to get hurt. I can see whomever I want. That one's risky. I can use my resources as I want to. I don't have to do things I don't want to, and I can eat what I want. So that one's pretty good. So just the general theme was singleness is actually pretty awesome because you just get to do anything you want. And it's just me. But there was one that like really stood out as I think was pretty accurate. Was this idea that single people have more time to work on their fitness. So if we take my like beautiful muscular physique and compare it with this
like, again this is one, not in my notes. You just need to know.
That one's actually pretty accurate. Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just not in my notes. So, yes.
But the reality is, There's something about finding our wholeness in both these systems of the world and within the church. And we're going to kind of shift into that a little bit. But it's interesting that the world is telling, this might be shifting, so this isn't a universal truth, but the world for the most part has told me to find your wholeness and your fullness, you need to be with somebody. And so if I'm choosing singleness, this is kind of the radical part of it. I'm saying no to romance. I'm saying no to marriage. I'm saying no to sex. I'm saying no to having children. So from a world's perspective, that is absolutely crazy.
It is.
Because that means I'm never going to find who I fully am. But the beauty of being a church within the world is that God is inviting us into a very different frame of mind. And we live within the kingdom of God. And within the kingdom, finding our wholeness doesn't happen in those things, right? Mm-hmm. Finding our wholeness is through one person alone, and that's Jesus Christ.
And I think just to take that, because I think there is this feeling of absence, that you can't be a fully whole person unless those things that you listed, and again, it was, you know, romance and marriage and sex and kids, that somehow there will be a deficiency in you unless those things are fully realized. And the one like biblical piece of this, and as Taylor and I talked about it, we thought we can't get into 1 Corinthians, we can't really get into Matthew 19, and some of the passages in the weeds that talk about singleness, and other than to say that it's probably helpful to know that those passages were not trying to make some macro statement about singleness across all times and cultures. Paul was addressing something in the Corinthian church at that time. Jesus was addressing some things within the Mosaic Law. And hopefully we'll find some context, you and me, we talked about. Could we at least tease out those passages a lot more fully? But from a biblical standpoint, if there's one takeaway, and this would be for all of us today, and it's surprisingly consistent with where Westgate seems to be finding itself right now in this, we don't always know all of the reasons why we're being called towards community, but we think we are. Is if I can just kind of drop one piece in for everybody to take away with them, is what I've already said, and that is the Bible really doesn't know anything about an individualistic journey where you are doing your thing and you hope to then find some community to live it out in. But because our context is so individualistic, my life, and I don't know about yours, but my life has tended to be a series of ongoing transient communities, meaning that I might be part of this thing for 4 or 5 or 7 or 10 years, and then maybe I'm part of this thing for 4 months because my kids are in Little League, and then maybe we go to this church, and then maybe we do this thing. And it's almost like life has been a series of longstanding adult play dates, but I don't really like have, you know, an ongoing durable community in which I am... I guess, actualizing whatever gifts I might have. And so I end up feeling lonely, and who are my people? The Bible doesn't know anything about that. The biblical worldview of somebody of that first century time would have been that I am a person, hyphen, in, hyphen, community.
Yes.
Meaning that you couldn't separate them. They understood themselves to say, I have individual gifts, but I am part of something bigger. And so whatever it is that I'm doing in life is going to be part of a community. And that's challenging, isn't it? Right? I mean, today's church landscape, it's challenging because we all have sort of, what church do we want to go to? And it kind of has the people or the programs that we want, and that's all good. But I think unless we begin to develop the kind of mindset that is not just come and see what's going on in church, but to come and stay, and to stay through hard things and to stay through difficulties, but to stay through some of the good, just the whole life journey. It's part of what's going to then be the umbrella that Taylor is going to talk about here. And just, I think we just leave it there and head into some of what you've learned in your singleness journey. And you are, you know, everybody that I've ever met in my whole life, you are like Mr. Come and Stay, like Mr. Come and Impose in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
Mr.
I will be a part of everything you're doing. But it's been an incredible gift that you presented because in our 10 years together, I haven't doubted for a minute that we wouldn't be on this journey.
Yep.
And that's super unusual, but that's so much of what you've brought to the table. So in our last sort of maybe 10 minutes or so together, Taylor, maybe just as you've done this journey of singleness, where you've found a different kind of wholeness, that wholeness has been found not because you're going to get married, have kids, have sex, romance and all that. Yep. It's that you have been able to see your gifts realized in the context of community, and in that we're whole together, and you experience your wholeness there.
Yeah, and for me, and I'll just kind of go through this quick as I get to that, this all comes out of my favorite passage in all of Scripture, which is in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 35. Let me just read through this. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they turned and followed Jesus. That's a big deal. They left John and went straight to Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" That's a fantastic question. Do you ever meet someone and be like, "Where are you staying tonight?"
You.
Like, that's incredible. Where? Yeah. I do that a lot, actually.
Yes.
"Rabbi, where are you staying?" And he just says, "Come and you will see." Like the greatest invitation probably of all time. Just come with me and you will see. And they're going to see everything. So this translation, ESV, says they went and spent the day with him. I've read other commentary and translations that said they went and spent the rest of their lives with him. So the simplicity of this invitation of just come and see. And that has completely formed my life as a single person because people have done that for me.
Mm-hmm.
They have said, "Come over, let's have dinner. Come grocery shopping with me." Just whatever it is, it doesn't have to be massive, but this idea of just come and be a part of what we're doing.
And I think as you've done that, Taylor, one of your sort of three things that you've learned in that process that has been so intriguing to me is that opposed to sort of the linear path of young adults and then singleness and married, and then you kind of go from there, you have found yourself in a cross-section of relationships. I mean, you know people older, younger, in every stage of life. And so I would say that one of the things that is being part of a community together is you're not segmented by affinity. You're not if you are in a singles group and you get married, you're not like you're leaving the singles group behind somehow. Like you just have long-standing, durable relationships with a cross-section of people.
Yep.
And that's very different than I'm going to be a part of a group that's going to sort of fill my needs according to my stage of life. You found something different in that.
Totally. And it's like the most beautiful part of life, I think, is being invited into those different circles. And getting to do life with different ages. My best friend, Jim, sitting over here, is 75 years old. He's the one person I talk to every single day. He knows my story more than anybody. 38 and 75, like, the world was not designed for that to happen. But I think the church was designed to be very different than the world. And within the church, we just have this opportunity to just say to anybody, come and see. Come be a part of this with me. And a big part of that, so speaking directly to singles here, a big part of that is for us as singles to learn how to use our time very wisely. what do I want to do with my whole life? I want to eat cheese curds and play pickleball all the time.
I feel like you kind of already do that. Yeah.
It's a part of my life. It's not all of it. It's most of it. But like, it's so easy to fall into, yeah, but I want to do this. But the invitation from God is, okay, but will you use this either a season of singleness or a long-term life decision of singleness to invest in the kingdom and the work of God? And where I get to see that play out is I get to be a part of youth group every single Wednesday. I've got 70 kids that I get to invest in. I get to be part of Westgate Kids and invest in the littles in our church. And these invitations have kind of helped me understand this idea of like spiritual parenting is a tricky way to say it, but spiritual mentoring, if you will. Like, I have all these friends who are married with little kids. The stat is that if you are married with kids, you spend 33% of your waking hours raising your child. So over the course of 18 years, what is that? Six straight years of just raising a kid when you cannot be doing something else. I'm single. I've got 33% more time to help you do that instead of just doing what I want. So there's something in here for if you are single, and again, I want to be very careful about you might hate being single. So I want to see you and I want to hear you in that. And yeah, there's definitely seasons for us to lament and to feel the pain and the grief. The invitations from God, I believe, don't stop based on our circumstance. So wherever you find yourself, if you are single and wanting to stay single, if you are single and you want to be married, if you are divorced and currently single, if you are widowed and currently single, or if you are married with or without kids, the circumstance truly does not matter. What is God's invitation? To come and see.
Yeah, and you said something profound this week related to that, is that to the extent that we can stop looking for wholeness as soon as our circumstances change and figure out how to be whole and holy people within a community together, Taylor, I think it requires coming and staying and being a part of a journey with people. That's one of the things that I know you wanted to communicate, is that you found some sort of version of wholeness that is actually quite unfamiliar to me, and I think unfamiliar to a lot of people.
Sure.
Is that you have found wholeness not because your circumstances became what you wanted them to be. You found wholeness because you were part of a people that were called to something together, and you found a way to then bring all of your significant and immense gifts to the table in all of that. And in that place, you found wholeness in a different way, not waiting for your circumstances to change. And if I can just say one thing about that, is sort of like you wrap us with some of the quotes that you have. For sure, my children, I can't be more grateful that they know you. We sat at Rock Elm this week and just thinking about, you know, you hear these statements, it's so important for your kids to know other adults besides parents. And we say those things, but you are like a human embodiment of that for my kids. My kids trust you. They see you. I had one of my son's friends just walk through the side door of our house this last week that also knows you. And he came wandering in and I was like, I know that he has been impacted because of what you have brought into his life. And I imagined this scenario that if you were here for 96 more years, you would like then know the grandkids of the kids that you're ministering to right now.
Let's do it.
Right?
And I'm in.
I know you are.
That's so good.
But what I love about that is I do think that the resolution, or at least the primary resolution to the mental health crisis of the day, is that you're part of a people that see you and know you and are shepherding you, and you're not just individualized across a whole variety of things where you're the only common reality in your life. Kids need shepherds, and they need more than the parents as shepherds, and I'm so grateful for what you have done. And you have actually done it. We've just only tasted it, but you've done these things.
Yep. Yeah, and the reality check is, for those of you who are single, please do not wait to get to where you think you should be or where you want to be. Do not wait to be a part of this kingdom life that God's inviting us into. The invitations are there. If you want help like discerning those invitations, this church is a fantastic place to be a part of that. Sit down with a pastor. We'll talk through what you're feeling, what you're hearing, what you're wondering about. But the opportunity to lean in is just right in front of us, you guys. And if 50% of the American adults are single, like, let's do an unbelievably good job of inviting those people in and saying, come and see. Come and see what life is about. So just Westgate, y'all, let's be come and see kind of people, right? Like, that should be simple enough. And it's risky, right? It's risky to invite you in and see my house and my kids are throwing spaghetti on the wall and I'm yelling at them. And like, that's a real thing. But there is grace and there is just the reality of like, let's just do this together, okay? So face to face, look at each other and just, y'all, let's just say, let's be come and see people. Mm-hmm. It's the invitation from God. So yeah, any final things before we...
No, I would love for you to just pray over us as a community, just to learn to continue to find wholeness, not because we're in the right affinity groups or not because we got married or not because we have children, but that we are simply doing life together in a way that where I would wrap it is, again, we sat across the table and I said, in a kingdom community, actually your wholeness is my responsibility. And my wholeness is your responsibility. And that's such a weird thing to think about. But I knew if I was part of a community where the people had my wholeness in mind and I had their wholeness in mind, I wouldn't be afraid. I wouldn't feel alone. There's so many things. So thank you for taking an unusual journey into this that I think is just on the front end of something that'll play itself out. But I'd love for you to pray over yourself.
And I'll pray. And I want to say that, again, this conversation, this is just the tiniest little tip of the iceberg. There's so much that goes into this. So let's keep this conversation going, you guys. Let's be in this together, and we're even considering doing a couple Westgate podcasts, and I would love to hear if you are single in whatever facet of singleness that is. I would love to sit down and talk with you and just understand what is your experience. And let's just, as a church, let's be aware of what's happening and then how we can enter into that together. So come find me. Let's go have coffee and talk about that, or we can go to Petey's house.
Door's open. Yeah.
Door is open,
it
apparently.
It is open, yeah.
So let's pray. Jesus, it's incredible that you have given us the gift of each other, that you've provided us with this system, this wineskin of community, where we can truly know each other and be known. And we're all coming from very different places, right? We have different experiences, different circumstances that we're living in. But your voice is so clear in all of that to just come and see what you're like. God, help us just to come see who you are and what you're like. And help us to do that side by side with each other here so that when we go out of this church, we can do that with people who are not a part of Westgate. And it's not just inviting them to come here, but it's also us going out and leaning into wherever they are and being a part of their lives. So, Jesus, thank you so much for every person in this room and everybody attending via live stream. Thank you for this family that you are building. We just bless your name, God, and we honor you in your name. Amen.